Reverend Denise is speaking to us this morning, and we always love it when she shares with us. She has a fabulous perspective, and she's been doing a lot of interesting work creating apps for the phone. So creative and innovative and amazing, and it's so fun to have people who are steeped in our Science of Mind philosophy, but who also have all these other skills and abilities that they share with us along the way. So I'm delighted to introduce Reverend Denise to speak to us this morning. And if everybody would please mute so that we get the best recordings possible.
And before I mute, she
Thank
belongs
you, Connie.
To us. Sterling Study Group.
So good morning, everyone. The last time we met, when Connie mentioned I was speaking, I thought I was speaking in September. So when she mentioned it, I was like, oh, so, you know, and then the topic, eternal and immortal. Woo! That just seemed a little scary at first, like, you know, Reverend Hillary was saying, it's a big topic, and yet it's the smallest chapter in the book. So anyway, I started, you know, doing my own little research and reading, and, you know, kind of having some discussions and just things to kind of get things moving. So I'm hoping this isn't like just a talk of information. This is going to be something that I want everyone to really experience in your heart. So that's where I'm going with this. So the topic, you know, I noticed one of the first things that comes to me, you know, about those particular words is you kind of associate them with maybe after your life, you know, like after I'm gone, as far as being eternal and immortal. But the longer I sat with those words of Holmes, the more I realized he wasn't trying to answer a question about what happens after we die. He was inviting us to discover something about how we live right now. He was inviting us to ask a deeper question. Who am I before the story? Before the titles I've collected? Before the successes I've celebrated? Before the disappointments I've carried? Before the fears I've entertained? Who am I before all the labels I use to describe myself? So I'd like to begin with a brief experience. So if you're comfortable, you can close your eyes for just a moment. Take a slow, easy breath. Imagine placing everything you'd normally use to describe yourself on a table in front of you. Your work, your age, your relationships, your accomplishments, your worries, even the story you've been telling yourself about your life. Now ask one simple question. Who is the one noticing all of that? And don't try to answer. Just let the question rest in your heart. Who is the one noticing all of that? And you can open your eyes if you like. I believe that question is where Ernest Holmes begins. Not with death, not with eternity, but with identity. So there's a story in the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna is standing on a battlefield, preparing for the greatest battle of his life. And he looks across the field and he sees friends, teachers, and members of his own family. His strength leaves him. His certainty disappears. He says, I can't do this. Have you ever had a moment like that? Yeah. Maybe it wasn't a battlefield. Maybe it was like sitting at the doctor's office. Maybe it was the loss of someone you love. Maybe it was a marriage ending or a job disappearing, a dream falling apart. Sooner or later, life asks every one of us the same question. Who are you when the story changes? Krishna doesn't begin by teaching Arjuna how to win the battle. He begins by reminding him who he really is. He says, "The self is never born, nor does it ever die." Now that sounds remarkably like Ernest Holmes, of course. Holmes reminds us that there's one infinite life expressing through all of creation, that life isn't created by our circumstances. It isn't diminished by failure. It isn't threatened by change. It simply continues expressing itself. Now, some of you know that I'm fascinated by science as well, and neuroscience is one of those things I like to thread in a little bit. So, modern neuroscience offers like kind of an interesting companion to this idea. Researchers have found that our brains are constantly creating stories about who we are. I'm successful. I'm too old. I'm not enough. I'm anxious. Those stories matter, but they aren't the whole truth. During meditation and prayer or moments of awe, people often report something fascinating. The story grows quieter. Not because life has changed, but because they begin experiencing themselves as something larger than the story. Holmes would call that the spiritual identity, the observer, the presence, the divine life expressing through you. Maybe the spiritual journey isn't about creating a new self. Maybe it's about remembering the self with a capital S that has been present through every chapter of our lives. So I'm going to ask another question. What if you are more than the story you've been telling yourself? And just let that question stay with you. What if you are more than the story you've been telling yourself? There's another beautiful story from the Buddhist tradition. A young mother named Kisa Gotami loses her only child. Heartbroken, she goes to Buddha and begs him to please bring her son back. Instead, he gives her a task, an unusual task. Bring me a handful of mustard seeds, he says. But they must come from a home that has never known loss. She seems to think that this is doable. She goes from house to house. Every family has mustard seeds, but no family has escaped grief. I get a little chills when I read this story. By the end of the day, she realizes something very profound. She isn't alone. Every heart has loved. Every heart has lost. Every heart has been broken open. Now, I don't think that that story is really about death. I think it's about awakening. Awakening to the realization that while forms change, love remains. While forms change, love remains. Now, the story became very personal for me this year. Many of you know how deeply I loved caring for Junior during the 8 months he was in my home. When he transitioned to his biological family, it happened so quickly that I barely had time to even catch my breath. Then there was silence. No updates, no pictures, no way of knowing how he was doing. It was one of the deepest heartbreaks I've ever experienced. During that time, my dear sweet Connie said something to me I'll never forget. I think she, I don't remember what was going on at the time, but I know she was calling and checking on me. And I mentioned something about how I needed to, call someone else or do this or whatever. And she said, "No worries." Yeah, she said, "Our friendship is eternal. Our friendship is eternal." And that really is something that I like had to let that really marinate about what that meant. It was so powerful. It was beyond what I, had ever considered or thought about when it comes to my friends and family and just people that I care about. And so another time she reminded me as well that my relationship with Junior is eternal too. She invited me to continue loving him, to continue blessing him, to continue speaking heart to heart. She didn't try to explain my grief away. She simply expanded the horizon of my heart. She helped me realize something. Perhaps relationships don't end. Perhaps they change languages. Take that one in. Perhaps they change languages. When someone is physically present, love speaks through hugs, through laughter, through conversation. When the form changes, love learns another language. Prayer, memory, presence. The relationship changes. Love does not. I still miss him. I still pray for him. I still talk to him from my heart to his. But I no longer believe that love ended because the form of the relationship changed. Holmes reminds us that life is eternal. Perhaps love is one of the clearest ways we experience that truth. love is larger than the form it takes. I'd like to leave you with one image, so we're going to close our eyes for a moment. Imagine standing at the ocean early in the morning. The sun is just beginning to rise. Wave after wave rolls gently towards the shore. Some are large, some are small, some sparkle brilliantly, others disappear almost unnoticed. Now imagine one wave becoming afraid. I'm about ready to disappear. From the wave's perspective, that seems true. From the ocean's perspective, nothing has been lost. The wave has never been anything other than the ocean expressing itself in a particular form. And maybe that's us. You can open your eyes if you like. And I'm going to repeat that last sentence. The wave has never been anything other than the ocean expressing itself in a particular form. And maybe that's us. Maybe we've spent our lives identifying with the wave, our age, our body, our circumstances, our successes, our losses, while forgetting the ocean beneath it all. Holmes invites us to look deeper, not to deny the wave, but to remember the ocean. So let's experience that together again. So close your eyes one more time. Take a slow breath. Imagine yourself as a single wave. Unique, beautiful, completely yourself. Now watch that wave gently settle back into the sea. Ask yourself, did anything real disappear? Or did only the form change? Now allow your attention to rest on the vastness of the ocean. Still, endless, peaceful. Imagine that ocean as infinite life, infinite mind, God. Now quietly ask, what if that life has been expressing itself as me all along? What if that life has been expressing itself as me all along? You can open your eyes and take another breath. I think this is what Ernest Holmes is inviting us to remember. When we hear the words eternal or immortal, many of us think about something that begins after death. But perhaps Holmes is pointing us somewhere else. He isn't pointing us away from this life. He's inviting us to awaken to the life that is already expressing itself at this very moment. Eternity isn't simply endless time. Eternity is the timeless presence available in every moment. Perhaps immortality isn't something we enter someday. Perhaps it's the deeper reality we've never actually left. We are spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe, governed by a spiritual law. That means eternity isn't waiting for us somewhere in the future. It's quietly shining through this very moment, through this breath, through this act of kindness, through this conversation, through this sunrise, through this prayer, through this ordinary Sunday morning together. So I'd like to leave you with one simple practice this week. Whenever life changes, pause. Take one conscious breath and then gently ask yourself, what in me has never changed? Don't rush to answer. Just let the question do its quiet work. I have a feeling that if you listen with your heart, you'll discover that the answer has been with you all along. So I'd like to end with a few moments of silence, not to think and not to analyze, simply to rest in the presence that has never left you. This week, don't try to become eternal. Simply notice the places where eternity is already shining through your life. Because I have a feeling it's been there all along. Let us end with spiritual mind treatment. Close your eyes if you like. There is one life, one infinite presence, one divine intelligence expressing itself in, through, and as all creation. That one life is whole. It is complete. It is eternal. It has never been born, and it can never die. Today we recognize that this same divine life is the life of each person gathered here. There is no separation between God and its creation. There's only the infinite expressing itself in countless beautiful ways. I know for each one of us that beneath every changing circumstance, beneath every joy, beneath every sorrow, beneath every beginning and every ending, there remains an unchanging presence. A presence that has never been wounded, never abandoned, never diminished, never broken. I know that fear gives way to faith. Confusion gives way to clarity. Grief is gently embraced by a love greater than any form it has ever taken. Peace rises naturally within every heart. Each person leaves today with a renewed awareness of their true identity. They remember that they are not limited by appearances. They are expressions of infinite life. They are guided. They are loved. They are supported. They are whole. I know that this realization moves beyond inspiration and becomes demonstration. It expresses as greater peace, health, joy, abundance, meaningful relationships, purpose, courage, and a deep trust in the unfolding of life. With grateful hearts, we simply allow this truth to reveal itself more fully in our lives. We release this word into the creative law, knowing it is already accomplished in divine mind. And together we say, and so it is.